when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hi, I'm Joy Marie Parker, and you're listening to episode one of Joblogs. Welcome to Joblogs, a podcast that features candid conversations from young professionals about work, life, and everything in between. Thank you so much for listening today. I'm so happy to have you tuned in. The idea and the inspiration for Joblogs really came to me from a lot of my everyday conversations with my friends, with my family, and even with coworkers. I remember moving to New York City about 4 years ago now, I think it was, and just really like not having it figured out, you know, not having a job at the time, trying to figure out how to get retail gigs and freelance gigs and internships and raises and everything that you could possibly imagine. But what really got me through that period was those conversations with my network. And I got to thinking, and it's like, you know, a lot of young professionals are having these conversations with people that they trust, but we're not having the conversations with each other. And for me, that's really what I envision from Joblogs, creating a space where people feel comfortable being candid and transparent and inspiring each other, motivating each other, and sharing their experiences. So on that note, let's dive right into today's episode. All right, so today I'm super excited to have Gina and Wei in the studio with me. Gina and Wei are co-founders of clothing line Avantour. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
That is right.
Avantour. And I actually met Gina through work, through my job, but Wei I'm meeting today for the first time. So I'd love for the two of you to just share a little bit about yourselves. Gina, you want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, I guess where to start. So, you know, obviously met at work in sales and business development. I've been doing that for a number of years now. Avantour is really our collective creative outlet, I guess I'd say. I mean, but Wei and I have been friends for years now. I don't know how long exactly.
4 or 5 years?
Yeah, 4 or 5 years. Sales and business development, looking to get into a new business, a much more creative industry. And so rather than look for a job, we decided to start our own.
That's awesome. So how did you two meet exactly?
Okay. All right, I'll take this one. So Wei and I met at Vanguard, which is, where we were both working, I guess, five, six years ago. I don't even know how long it's been now, but yeah, 5 or 6 years. And we were both working in the same division, in the international division, and we kept crossing paths in the hallway. In the kitchen, the pantry, making our lunch every day. And we just started talking one day. We were the only two there. I mean, like, you know, in the kitchen. So I think it made sense for us to start chatting. And then we both lived downtown in Philly. So we found we had some shared interests and we just became friends from there. Then Wei left Vanguard before I did. He moved up here to New York to work in social media. And at that time, I actually moved to London with Vanguard, which was great. I was there for 2 years. Came back, you know, Wei is already here and established in New York. And then, you know, I moved here a year ago and we just reconnected and decided we wanted to do something together.
So I want to explore that idea of you guys meeting and actually sharing your interests, because I think, Gina, that happened with you and I as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You can work with people, but I found that you seem to be really good at like sharing what you're interested and passionate about. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's a little tricky in the workplace. So how do you navigate opening up about some of your personal interests and then, you know, ending up like finding opportunities and synergies with colleagues and friends.
Yeah, so I think you have to not be scared to talk about your outside interests at work. And, you know, and especially at the beginning with Avantour, there were probably a good 5 months where I wasn't talking about it at work because I just wasn't sure what was appropriate. But then the little, as I kind of let a little bit out here and there, I realized that people were really interested or had similar things going on. So I think it's kind of, you know, you build that relationship with someone and you kind of test the waters to see, you know, if they'll be receptive to talking about something different or something new outside of work. And as soon as they're responsive, then I kind of jump on it now, you know, because you never know who you're going to meet or what they're into or how you're going to connect with somebody. So I think it's really important. And as I've talked about my outside interests in work more, I've definitely become more confident in doing it because it always leads to a really positive place.
Yeah, absolutely. So Wei, you guys had experience at Vanguard, but I'm not hearing about fashion design experience. So how did you decide to start a clothing line? Like, what did that process look like?
Great. So whenever Gina and I met at Vanguard, I think that we were immediately drawn to one another just because, I don't know, if you see, you know, a crate of red apples, you can immediately tell when there's a green one. So, like, we both sort of stood out.
Yeah.
We were both green.
We were so green. So I think that, you know, we had this shared interest of fashion. I think Gina was probably interested in fashion long before I was, because she was interested in fashion as a child. And for me, I was, that interest sort of grew over time. So at my last agency, I started to work with different designers, helping them advertise and helping them with their social strategy. So designers like Rachel Roy and Yossi Samra. So I started to work with them, and I realized that I had a strong passion for it. And then I decided that I wanted to learn how to sew. So I started taking sewing classes at FIT just to learn on the side. And I wasn't really sure what I was going to do with it. But there was one night when Gina and I, we went to an exhibit at, I think it was the Brooklyn Museum.
Yeah.
And Gina was just like, why don't we start something together? Wow. And I was like, I don't know. And Gina had asked me, you know, twice before that. I was like, I don't know. We're such good friends. I'm not sure I want to do that. I don't want to ruin our relationship.
Right.
But then at that time, whenever she asked, I was like, you know, this, it feels right. And I was ready to start something. She was ready to start something. And because we had that shared interest, we just decided to jump in, and we didn't care that we didn't know everything about fashion. We didn't care that we weren't pattern makers or what, you know, whatever else goes along with that. We just knew that we could do it. We knew that we would figure out a way to make it work.
And just to add a little bit there, so I think the shared, so I took sewing classes as well.
Okay. You know,
so I think we both have a little bit of foundation
right
there, but just superficial. And I think one of the things, but we each have a point of view and we each have a specific taste and can develop a concept and, you know, can be creative in that way. So I think that's been really important. But I think one of the things, you know, that brought me to like actually want to dive into a business that I hadn't ever worked in before was I had a number of friends actually over the past couple years leading up to Wei and I deciding to actually do something together who had entered businesses that they didn't know anything about. And like, I had a lot of friends at the time who were just exploring entrepreneurship. Yeah. For example, a really great friend in Philly, she was creating a food bar. And so basically she prototyped in her kitchen for about a month. She wanted to create a specific type of food bar that she didn't see in the market. Then she went on Elance or Guru or whatever to basically buy and outsource the technical skill that she didn't have.
Wow.
So she started working with like a food development company to come up with this bar, and ultimately it ended up not working out for her because they kept asking for more and more money, and it was just really, really challenging to make the bar that she wanted. But she took the chance of doing it, you know, and she invested in it. So I think that's one thing that I learned and that actually gave me the confidence to pursue this is that I knew we could find, if we had the concept and the idea and the vision and enough level of skill, we each had the business acumen and could find the partners to help us execute on the idea that we had. So it's really like partnerships and relationships have been super helpful and important to us.
Okay, and I want to hear a little bit more, Wei, from both of you about that process of actually getting started, right? Because I think a lot of us have ideas and don't know where to start. So you guys said you wanted to do a clothing line. What did you do the next day? What did you do the next week, the next month? You know, who were you reaching out to? What research did you do?
Yeah.
Well, I think to begin with, so Gina and I, although we are super, super creative, we're also very business-minded. So we were getting our house in order. It was like checklist after checklist. What do we have to do to start the business, to start the brand, to be recognized by the city? So we did all the foundational work first. And then for me, I was like, okay, we need a physical presence or an online presence. So, of course, I thought of social first.
Right.
And I thought of a website. And I said, even though we don't have our designs yet, we don't have photography, we still have our story. We have a point of view. And I think that's what a lot of people find interesting is that we don't have a fashion background. And we're coming to this industry with a different perspective.
Yeah.
We're building a brand. We're building a business in addition to designing.
Yeah, and so, right, a little bit in terms of how we got started and what we were doing those first couple months. So after that moment of like, let's do this, you know, I think, again, just in terms of timing, it was the right time. Way already had a name, a business name in mind. So he created the name Avantor. I think, you know, he was just one day brainstorming in a cafe and was just playing around with names and came up with this name that was, and again, it's just, I don't know if it's timing or serendipity or we really just are, have a lot in common and share a worldview, but the name Avantor was perfect.
And I love it, by the way. It gives me, like, I've told you, like, adventure and haute couture at the same time. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. And even just, like, the symbol. I forget the name of the symbol of
Macron.
Right, the Macron. I mean, again, it's just, it's, you know, a word that people understand and can kind of get a sense of what it is, but then it still is special because it's, you know, has the interesting symbols. But anyway, so fortunately, Wei had the name already. So it's kind of, it was a neat merging of our visions, I guess, in a lot of ways. So, you know, Wei wanted to start a business, but what would it be? And I wanted to experiment in fashion and he had his name. So it just all came together in a really great way. And then, yeah, we did all the foundational things. I'd say we spent the first 2 months really visioning together. So we knew how important it was going to be to align on the brand before we even started doing anything.
And to the target that, you know, really talking about who we wanted to reach, like who is the woman who would wear Avantor, developing brand documents, you know, what the brand really means and how we speak about that to people.
On a tactical level, though, how did you guys know what to even be thinking about? I mean, did you, I know, Gina, you went to business school, so did that have anything to do with it?
It did, but again, Wei knew a lot of the things that I didn't know.
Okay.
So Wei was, you know, we need to register as a partnership or some other entity, you know, to get started. He's much more familiar with the digital space than I am. So fortunately now I've learned a lot about it, but you know, he knew how to find our domain name and, you know, kind of get that all underway. And then in the meantime, you know, I'm very good at, you know, strategic planning and business planning. And I was keeping us on track, I'd say, to like develop our brand, financing, investment, you know, partnership agreement. How did we want to work together? And then I really embarked on the whole, okay, so neither of us know how to create patterns or make a garment. You know, I went out in search of those partnerships and those contacts. But yeah, so it's just been a really interesting, we've been very complimentary, I think, in terms of what we bring to the table.
Yeah.
And then the more, I think, again, kind of back to your question now, getting off track, but I think as you start to build momentum, you just find other things that you just, one thing leads to another, and you kind of are finding your Wei along, you know, the path of starting a business. I wouldn't say we necessarily had like a checklist that was comprehensive, but we had five things that we knew we needed to do, and then we just started. And I think that's the biggest barrier to doing so many things is just starting.
Getting started, absolutely.
And so we just kind of dove in, you know, opened the bank account, put in the money, and just got the credit card. I'd say we opening a bank account and getting a credit card was probably like one of the first things we did because it enables everything else at a very, you know, basic level. You need money to money to make money. I think that's what we're learning. So anyways.
Yeah, I love it. So I have a question actually that was submitted from one of our readers on the blog.
That's exciting.
Yes. And they're curious about how the two of you are able to find the time to launch a line. You guys are stocked now in Brooklyn. Congratulations, in store in Brooklyn. But how you're able to find the time to maintain a line with full-time jobs?
Well, I think that we can both say that our average hours of sleep has gone down. But I think, you know, whenever we first started this, Gina and I, we had a discussion and we said, you know, we're all in. Mm-hmm. We're going to make this work. We may not make any money the first few years, but we're going to make this work as a brand, as a partnership. So that's really given us a lot of drive and determination. So we honestly work every single night on this. You know, I get out of work at, you know, 8 or 9 every night, and then I come home and I work. I go to the gym, and then I come back and do more Aventura stuff. And then we work every weekend. We have a standing meeting every Sunday evening where we talk about things that we need to do for the coming week. So, you know, what it comes down to is discipline.
Yeah.
So Gina and I, luckily, we have been able to find one another and, you know, build this partnership where we are very disciplined, because whenever it's one-sided, a lot of times partnerships won't work. Mm-hmm. But luckily, we're both very disciplined.
And so on that note, in terms of choosing a partner and working with a friend, so for me, there was nobody else that I know who I would have wanted to start a business with. So I know that Wei is very disciplined. He's very thoughtful. I couldn't imagine starting a business with anyone else. There wouldn't be anyone else I wanted to do it with, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So I think fortunately, like, we have shared values around work. And so that's enabled us, I think, to find the time and to build the partnership in a way that is allowing us to do this. But yeah, it's tough, and it infringes sometimes on your time with, like, your social time, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Your time with your significant other. But again, having a really supportive significant other has been really important too.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys have moved pretty quickly, though. Mm-hmm. When did you launch, or I guess when did you guys come up with the idea? When did you actually launch? Because you've now had a fall line and a spring line, right?
Right.
I'm not huge on fashion, so correct me if I'm, like, saying the wrong term.
Yeah, but it's more of an item collection.
Okay.
But, so not a full line, but yeah. So we started talking about this not last December, but the previous December, and then we started, you know, documenting everything, and we actually registered the business the following February. So this February is actually our 1 year, I guess. So happy anniversary.
Yay, happy anniversary.
So we did move very, very quickly. So
was that intentional by design, or
it kind of was? We pushed ourselves to move very quickly. Gina's very deadline oriented, which is great for us because it did push us to move and hit those milestones very early on. So I would say, you know, after we launched in February, we started networking, started designing. Started ordering fabric, and we launched with our first product in October, November. So it was very quick, and everyone has said that. They're like, how did you do that so quickly? But I think that the focus that we had on one item collection did really help, whereas a lot of designers, they will try to do a complete collection of tops, bottoms, outerwear, shoes, jewelry, and it just doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
Especially from a financial perspective. So we were really able to focus in that way.
Mm-hmm. Right, so moving... Sorry, I lost my thought. But
Moving quickly.
Moving quickly.
Yeah, because I mean,
maybe
it's been a year. You have two phenomenal pieces out already.
Yeah, so again, I think focusing on one piece obviously was huge. Making that one piece work for us through multiple seasons has been really important. So it's the same design with tweaks for this season and a different material. But I think it's very... So again, we're not from the fashion industry. So I think we've approached kind of building this business entirely differently than, say, a traditional designer would. And we both are interested in tech.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
technology and technology companies, and we read about that all the time, and we read about startups and entrepreneurship all the time. And if you know anything about tech companies, it's all about prototyping. So you just get something into the market and then you get a reaction to it. And I think fashion actually is exactly the same because it's a product. It's almost even better because it's a physical product that people can try on and wear and give you immediate feedback on. So I mean, as soon as we launched our product, each of us were wearing it, and we were asking our friends to wear it. So like, we were not only, you know, experiencing the product and giving ourselves feedback, but we were getting a ton of feedback from anyone else who we could get to try the coat on. Yeah. But I think that philosophy, again, that's really, really popular in technology circles around prototype, fail quickly, keep moving, minimal investment. You know, we were also very disciplined about what we invested up front. So we set ourselves the maximum and we did not exceed that. And that meant we could only do one product at a time.
Okay.
And so that discipline, again, I think is helping us learn. We're learning the industry. That was a big part too, is I think we knew our first year wasn't going to be about money. It was going to be about learning.
Yeah, absolutely.
And learning a new industry. So, but I think, you know, as we get, it's interesting because I think, we occupy an interesting place in the fashion space because, you know, when you're trying to sell to boutiques or you're engaging with other buyers, they're all used to seeing a full collection. And so that's been a little bit challenging. But I think, you know, still we want to continue to do this our way.
Yeah.
Find a new way to kind of do this whole fashion thing. And I think that's really where we're going to be different and innovative, and down the road is going to define us, is that we're trying to do it differently in a way that makes ideally better business sense. Or, you know, again, we're kind of trying to, we're learning the rules, but we're trying to break them too, where they don't make sense, you know, so that we can be better.
Love it.
So anyways, Wei, anything that you'd add? No. Okay.
No, I love that. So what, I want to hear from each of you, what scares you the most about starting a new business?
So I think the scariest thing for me is just the money. So it's not even about failing, because like, I've failed enough times now, like in my personal life and at work, you know, that like failing isn't quite as scary as it used to be, which I think is really good. I'm so glad. And maybe that's also about being older.
Yeah.
You know,
you're not old.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, older.
Older than you were.
Yeah. But, you know, I've taken risks in lots of areas of my life.
Yeah.
So they're just not quite as scary anymore. So I think the biggest thing is just, being scared about not having the money to invest in this to make it really great, or not making wise investments. You know, I wouldn't, and especially since it's both of our money, like I don't want, you know, it's like, I don't want one of us to make a decision that then the other person isn't happy with. And then, oh shit, you know, it's like both of our money, you know, and like, I don't want Wei to hate me because we make a bad business decision. Speaking of, maybe we can tell our first kind of not so great business decision. So, you know, talk about moving quickly with that first product. And we were very excited to get it out, but we did feel pressure. And we wanted to move quickly to get the coat out in time to actually sell it for people to wear it. And we didn't know anything about inventory. We didn't know anything about predicting quantities or anything like that. And we're just like, okay, well, we just need fabric. Let's buy the fabric. And we bought so much fabric. And this is a common thing that designers do. I've talked to a lot of them, and it's like, I still have a whole roll of fabric sitting in my bedroom. And I do. I have two of them.
That is hysterical.
But what's great, it's the time, because we're all about timeless, you know, investment pieces. So we
timeless
can,
fabric.
Timeless fabric. So it's, you know, very basic wool that we can use over and over again, which we're using over and over again, because, you know, we want to, you know, make the most out of that decision. But I think, you know, I was kind of, you know, placing the order, but I was like very scared to do it on my own. And so I remember being on the phone with Wei, like, should I do it? Should we place the order? How much do we order? Oh my God. Like, it was a very stressful, like 5 or 6 days, but we did it. We kind of messed
up. You got
up,
two rolls of fabric in
and we now, learned. So now we're never doing that again. But I think, you know, we've learned. Learning from mistakes is another really important thing that we need to do.
Yeah.
So,
Wei, would you agree, is money the scariest area for you?
I guess so. Similar to it. I mean, I wouldn't say it's my biggest fear, but selling, which kind of goes along with what my biggest fear was, and it was launching. I was afraid to talk about it. I was afraid to tell people that I was doing this, because you know, whenever you're starting a fashion line, people expect you to have a ton of experience. And again, we had none of it.
Yeah.
So for the first few months, like Gina, I didn't say anything about it. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell my friends. It was
really?
Just Gina and I.
Wow.
I told my boyfriend, but that was about it.
Yeah.
Because I was so afraid of what people would think.
Yeah.
Like, well, what are you doing? Like, that's stupid. Why would you do that? You have no fashion experience. But then I was like, you know, I'm just going to do it because I'm committed to this. You know, Gina and I are eventually going to launch. And so I'm just going to start telling everyone about it, and I'm just going to own it. And I remember talking to Gina one day, because we were both very hesitant whenever we introduced ourselves to people. Like, oh, well, we started this thing. Like, this, it's kind of like a fashion line.
Right.
We're kind of the designers.
Kind of a fashion
line. We're kind of the founders.
And I was like, Gina, it, you know,
Gina,
no biggie.
You gotta own that. You got like, Gina's, we're the designers. And so from that point forward, that fear sort of, it was very fleeting.
Yeah.
And we really did own it. Like, we are the designers for Aventour. We are the founders of Aventour.
Yeah.
And that really was my biggest fear. And now it really is just selling, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we put the product on the site and we set it live, I was like, what do we do now? Like, what do we do?
Yeah.
And it was really that moment. Like, it was very anticlimactic. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, my God. Like, okay, now, like, why aren't people
now
buying?
What? Right.
Why aren't people buying our clothes?
Right, because, I mean, you've done all the work leading up to launching and selling the product, and now it's up to the market, right? Like, now you leave it in other people's hands. Speaking of which, I'd love to hear about how you guys got stocked in the store in Brooklyn, right?
Yes. So, shout out to another girl that we work with who lives in Brooklyn. And again, this is why it's so important. Once again, we got over our initial kind of fear of talking about what we do and really owning it. It's been so valuable to talk about it because you just get ideas and contacts from the most unexpected places. So another girl that we work with, she knew that we were, kind of doing this and that we were looking to get into stores, and she was like, well, you know, the other day I walked by this store, it's a cute little shop, you know, great foot traffic, focused on emerging designers, and she gave me the name. I followed up with the store owner and went in and had an appointment, and we worked out a deal to be able to place items in her stores. And I think what was really great about that is it's kind of helping us figure out where we can sell, because again, we're not traditional, we're not necessarily meeting right now all the needs of buyers in, you know, a more typical boutique. But because this particular store owner is focused on supporting emergent designers, and she has a different view in terms of how she wants to work with designers and how she wants to merchandise her store and things like that, so she's much more open, which has been great for us because we're learning now about, you know, how to sell in this wholesale space. So, but again, had I not talked about it at work, I never would have known about the store because I never had been there. I don't normally walk that way. So now we continue to kind of look for similar stores that are focused on emerging designers. But like this whole wholesale thing and like getting into stores is really, really tough. It's an education in itself. And I think for us initially, and this is again speaks to kind of like fail and fail quickly, right? So we put our code up on the site. Why isn't anyone buying? Oh, because like our whole original business plan was about selling direct to consumers and, you know, having a very small marketing budget. But it would be OK because we were going to use social media and social media is free. And yeah, totally did
it's
not
so
work.
It's so hard to engage people on social media.
It's so hard. And probably Wei knew better than I did, but I didn't know. And then we start experimenting with marketing with our limited budget because we had put all of it into the product, which I think is still something that we'll always continue to do because the design is really important to us and the materials are really important to us. But, you know, with limited marketing budget, even for social, man, like, you don't get...
Yeah.
Nobody's... Still wasn't really driving the engagement that we wanted, and we're selling at a fairly high price point.
Yeah.
Which is... And all online, like, that's very, very difficult. So I think Wei, in particular, you know, was always saying from the beginning that, you know, it's probably going to be tough for us to sell online. So then we started complementing it with this, you know, trying to get into stores.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that has its own challenges, you know, and so we're learning that space too. So it's been interesting.
What would you do differently if you had to start over again?
If we had to start over again, yeah, that's, I mean, it's a tough question because I think Gina and I, we both don't have regrets, mm-hmm. I don't think. You know, this has been an amazing ride so far. I think I wish we would have had more budget to begin with. So if we would have saved a bit more, because whenever we did this, well, like, we just hit the ground running. It was like, hey, let's do this. Okay. Yeah. Like, we're going to start the next day. How much money do you have?
Yeah.
But if we would have planned a little bit further out, we really could have saved. And we could have launched with, you know, three or four pieces. Or we could have had more of an advertising budget. But, you know, with what we had at the beginning, we really made it work for us.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I think if there's anything, I wish we would have saved a bit more. But thankfully, we did have a bit of savings to begin with.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would have, from my perspective, I don't think there's anything that we could have done differently. I mean, again, the fabric decision was a bit of a disappointment.
but you have to learn, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You got to make the mistakes to learn from them.
So I don't... Yeah, I mean, and especially the way that we're doing this, we both work full time. Like, there's only so much time and energy that you can invest
in
something. So, I mean, but I wouldn't have done it. I never would have done this full time, I don't think, because, again, it's just so risky.
Yeah.
And we're learning and we're experimenting constantly, not only in terms of, like, the product, but in terms of just the business and learning about the industry. So I don't think there's anything that I would have done differently. I think the only thing is maybe, you know, it kind of becomes more and more time consuming. And I think I just would have... and again, fortunately, I have a very supportive significant other, but, like, I think it would have been, had I known just how much time it would take, I would have liked to maybe have some of those conversations up front, but not because anything's gone wrong, but just out of fairness, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's it. Nothing business related, I don't think.
Okay, so we're going to change the pace a little bit. I'm going to ask you guys a couple quick fire questions. Money, fame, or power?
Would it make me sound terrible if I said power?
Power.
I'm going to go with money.
Money. Okay. Manhattan, Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, or Staten Island?
Brooklyn.
Manhattan.
Okay.
Whatever. This is why we have to do all our work virtually. We don't like the same boroughs.
Yeah, Gina and I are Brooklyn girls, so you can stay over there. Anyway. What are you guys reading? Like, what do you read for inspiration?
I hate that I have to answer this. I'm currently reading Gone Girl. I started reading this whenever I was on vacation, and I never finished it. So I'm reading a few pages every night to finish this. Other than that, I'm reading, of course, like, you know, New York Mag and Forbes. I love Fast Company as well.
Yeah.
So... Right now, I'm reading, I think it's called Creative Confidence. It's by the founders of IDEO.
Okay.
So, again, really into just that whole design thinking space you know, Joy Marie, you and I learned about at work. And I just became very fascinated by it. And so I constantly read about that. Seth Godin, am I pronouncing his last name properly? But, I mean, I love reading, you know, his stuff. So I read his blog, but then also he just released a book. I mean, several books, but the one that he's put out now is, like, very much, I think, speaking to me at this time in my life and to us in particular around just getting on it and just doing what you love. Because if you don't do it, like, nobody's going to give it to you and,
Kind
of take your turn. So I'm very into books that are about creativity, entrepreneurship, and kind of embracing who you are and being authentic and confident around that. Because, again, if you don't do it, like, nobody's going to do it
for you.
So
that's
if you want a happier life, you know, that's kind of the place to be. So.
Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. And when you guys aren't working on Aventure or your 9-to-5s, what are you doing?
Zumba.
I'm at the gym.
Nice.
So I guess we're both very fitness
active,
oriented.
Yeah. Good for you. Awesome. Well, this has been great. So the mission of JobLogs really is to facilitate transparent dialogue within the community. So in that vein, I'd love for both of you to share a recent challenge or question that you'd like our readers to maybe respond to. In terms of advice, in terms of just best practices.
So something that we're struggling with that we want your audience's advice on.
Mm-hmm.
Great question.
I'll start with mine while you two are thinking. So for me right now, like with the new blog and now the podcast, I've really been struggling with figuring out how to engage an audience that's truly interested in the type of content that I'm sharing. It's a lot harder to tap into through social than I had anticipated. So I'd love to know best practices around getting like authentic followers on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, and just building an online community that's truly interested in my topic.
Mm-hmm. So that's your business challenge?
Yeah, it is.
I think my challenge, it's business related, but also just like life and personal, is just how do you be patient when you want everything to happen now?
Yeah.
You know, and whether it's, you know, kind of having the business be successful or finding the right combination of career activities, you know, that's going to suit me for the long term. You know, why does it take so long to find it, you know? But again, I think, right, how do you build up that reservoir of patience to, you know, you have those days where you're just like very antsy and anxious. And, you know, how do you kind of work through those days?
Yeah.
I can't really think of anything very specific in terms of like a business problem. I think that I would love someone's advice on just being comfortable with the unknown. I think that's something I've always really struggled with, and Gina can probably tell that, you know, sometimes I want to know the answer. I want to know like what path leads to what.
Right.
And you know, Aventure, what's really great about it is it's really pushed me to be more comfortable with it, but it's still against, you know, the way that I'm hardwired.
So yeah.
I'd like to know that there's an end in sight, and we have a very clear and direct answer, but that's not always the case. So if anyone has any fast, quick tips on that would be appreciated.
I'd love the answer to that, too. So what I'm going to do is just share those questions with the community through our social media channels and the blog, and we'll see what responses we get. Thank you two so much for joining.
Yeah.
It's been a real pleasure. Share with us where we can find you, where we can find The Line, what your websites are.
Sure. So in terms of online, you can find us at www.avantur.co. So we're being bold with our .co and more modern and forward thinking in line with the brand. Similarly, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook under the same name. And right now we're stocked in V Curated, which is in Park Slope in Brooklyn.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, thank you,
thanks,
guys.
JM.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you really enjoyed the first episode. Be sure to check out joblogs.com, that's JOBLOGUES, for more content, more articles, and also to jump in on the conversation. Be sure to also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at joblogs. Special thanks to Adrian Wagner for composing this awesome original theme music and also for producing the episode. See you guys next time.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.